The church is in Africa at the service of reconciliation, peace and justice.
The church is in Africa at the service of reconciliation, peace and justice.
This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
In today's program, you can hear our feature, Culture and Society and News for Young People. First, however, our bulletin of church news, followed by African News Panorama. I am Festus Tarawali. Pope Francis received an audience on Thursday morning, participants in a symposium on the theme, Holiness Today, promoted by the Dicastery for the Causes of Saints. In his address at the Vatican's Apostolic Palace, the Holy Father said, Saints remind everyone that living the gospel to the full is possible and rewarding. Christopher Welch reports.
In his address, the Holy Father recalled that the universal call to holiness was a central teaching of the Second Vatican Council, and he noted that it is important to appreciate the sanctity present in the everyday lives of all God's holy people. From among this middle-class holiness, the Church presents the beatified and canonized saints as models, intercessors, and teachers.
Vi sono coloro che la Chiesa indica come modelli, intercessori e maestri.
Reminding us that living the gospel to the full is not only possible, but rewarding. The people of God, the Pope continued, have always had a particular instinct for recognizing these models of holiness and outstanding witness to the gospel. This fama sanctitatis, or reputation for holiness, is an important element in recognizing the sanctity of prospective saints. However, Pope Francis continued, it remains necessary to verify that this reputation for holiness is spontaneous, stable, enduring, and spread throughout a significant part of the Christian community. The risk of exaggeration or misrepresentation in the modern world makes it necessary for wise discernment on the part of all who examine the contours of a reputation of holiness, a discernment that includes the evidence of miracles.
Cari fratelli e sorelle, santi sono perle preziose.
Pope Francis insisted that the saints are precious pearls. They are always alive and timely and never lose their importance. The Pope expressed his hope that their example might enlighten the minds of the women and men of our time, reviving faith, enlivening hope, and kindling charity, so that everyone may feel drawn to the beauty of the gospel and no one may wander amid the gloom of meaninglessness and despair. Pope Francis concluded his address with the prayerful hope that the symposium would assist the Church and society as a whole to perceive the signs of holiness that the Lord never ceases to raise up. I'm Christopher Wells.
The Holy See Press Office on Thursday published the schedule, logo, and motto of Pope Francis's apostolic journey to Bahrain. During the 3rd to the 6th November visit, the Holy Father will attend the Bahrain Forum for Dialogue under the motto, Peace on Earth to People of Goodwill. Devin Watkins reports.
Pope Francis is set to make an apostolic visit to the Kingdom of Bahrain on November 3rd to 6th to encourage the country's small Catholic flock and to attend the Bahrain Forum for Dialogue, East and West for Human Coexistence. The Holy See Press Office released the program for the papal visit to the Middle East country on Thursday, along with the logo and motto. The Bahrain Forum for Dialogue will also see the participation of Sheikh Ahmed Al-Tayeb, Grand Imam of Egypt's Al-Azhar Mosque. Over 200 other religious leaders from various parts of the globe are also scheduled to attend the forum in the small central Bahraini town of Awali. According to the program, Pope Francis arrives at the Sakir Air Base in the afternoon of Thursday, October 3rd. He will then make a courtesy visit to King Hamad bin Isa Al Khalifa and meet with Bahrain's authorities, civil society, and diplomatic corps. On Friday morning, the Pope will attend the closing session of the Bahrain Forum for Dialogue. In the afternoon, he will meet privately with the Grand Imam of Al-Azhar, then hold an audience with the members of the Muslim Council of Elders, of which Sheikh Ahmed is the chairman. Afterwards, Pope Francis turns his attention to Christians living in Bahrain as he holds an ecumenical meeting and prayer for peace. Then on Saturday, the Holy Father celebrates Mass in the Bahrain National Stadium for the country's Catholic population, which numbers around 161,000 faithful. He also holds a meeting with young people in the afternoon. The Pope wraps up his apostolic visit on Sunday morning with a prayer meeting in the capital, Manama, with the Church's ministers in Bahrain before returning to Rome. The motto for the apostolic journey to Bahrain is Peace on Earth to People of Goodwill, and the visit's logo consists of the flags of the Holy See and the Kingdom of Bahrain, which are represented in stylized form as two hands open towards God. According to the Holy See Press Office, the logo symbolizes the commitment of peoples and nations to encounter each other free from prejudice and in a spirit of openness as brothers and sisters. I'm Devin Watkins.
In a tweet on Thursday, the Pope echoed his words during a weekly general audience on Wednesday. Writing through his @pontifex handle, the Pope said, "Prayer and self-knowledge enable us to grow in freedom." Speaking on the theme of discernment at the general audience, he encouraged Christians to strive towards self-knowledge by engaging in patient soul-searching in order to discover what we are most sensitive to, as well as to recognize what is truly important for us. A top rights expert has warned of a grave humanitarian crisis in Somalia due to drought and conflict. UN News' Daniel Johnson tells us more.
The humanitarian situation in Somalia is dire, and it will continue to worsen without international support. That's the message from a top rights expert to the Human Rights Council on Wednesday. Addressing the forum in Geneva, Isha Difan, independent expert on Somalia, said that funding was needed urgently to prevent the recurring crisis of looming famine in the country. The council heard that an estimated 7.1 million people, or 45% of the entire population, are acutely food insecure. Over 1 million have also been displaced by drought, concerned delegations noted, adding that the long-running conflict between the government and Al-Shabaab extremists has left vital infrastructure damaged and destroyed livelihoods. Equally concerning is the uptick in numbers of cases of female genital mutilation during the past 2 years in Somalia, the council heard, along with violence against women, girls and journalists.
Daniel Johnson of UN News reporting. You are tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
African News Panorama.
The Indian Health Ministry says it has launched an investigation after the World Health Organization said cough syrups made in India were linked to 66 child deaths in the Gambia. The World Health Organization says the medicines contain dangerous substances that can cause kidney damage and should be withdrawn immediately. The Indian government says it has asked the World Health Organization to share its evidence of the link between the syrups and the deaths of the children. The manufacturer, Medin Pharmaceuticals, says it is trying to find out from its buyer in the Gambia details about what happened. South Sudan's roads minister has apologized to the public for the bad condition of roads in the country, as a study found that they were the worst in the region. Roads worsened following recent torrential rains that made them impassable because of flooding and mud. More than 1,500 lorries carrying food supplies have been stranded for weeks in Western Equatorial State. Roads Minister Simon Mijok Mijak said engineers were working on the roads and the lorries would be able to move in a few days. South Sudan's roads have been described as the worst in the region in a report released by an East African body, the Northern Corridor Transit and Transport Coordination Authority. Zambia's female boxing sensation Catherine Piri has been banned from the sport for 2 years after failing a doping test. The Zambia National Broadcasting Corporation on Thursday reported that the suspension comes after her samples tested positive for prohibited drug furosemide on 26th February. The test followed the aftermath of the World Boxing Council title fight, which she lost to Zimbabwe's Kudakwa Chichwandire. The suspension has been slapped by the regional anti-doping organization. Piri has since apologized to her fans, saying she took the drug to help with weight loss without knowing it was on the list of banned substances. Kenya's telecom giant Safaricom has launched its network in Ethiopia, becoming the first private operator in one of Africa's biggest markets. Safaricom said in a statement that it switched on its network and services in the capital, Addis Ababa, following network pilots in 10 cities. Safaricom leads a consortium which includes South Africa's Vodacom and the United Kingdom's Vodafone. Its entry into the Ethiopian market comes after Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed power in 2018 with a promise to liberate the economy. State-owned Ethio Telecom had until now monopolized the industry. Kenya's President William Ruto was on Thursday in Addis Ababa for the official launch. You are tuned to the Daily Africa service of Vatican Radio. This is Culture and Society, and you are welcome to the program. My name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba. Pope Francis has reminded the Oblates of Mary Immaculate to continue to proclaim the gospel of hope. He said this recently when he received in audience the missionaries of Mary Immaculate during their general meeting or general chapter that took place between 14th September and 14th October 2022 in Rome. The theme of their gathering was Proclaim the Gospel of Hope, and Pope Francis noted that this theme embodies their very identities as disciples of Jesus who are called to bring the gospel of hope, joy and peace in a time where wars and conflicts, the struggles of migrants and refugees and an economy focused on the rich engulfed the world in darkness. Only the gospel can keep the light of hope burning, said the Pope. The 2022 general chapter was punctuated by the election of new leaders of the congregation. Father Luis Ignacio Ruiz Alonso was elected as the Oblate's 14th Superior General, taking over from Father Luis Lugan after serving the congregation for 12 years. The new general council was also elected. In this program today, I chat with one of the youngest new office bearers of the Oblates of Mary Immaculate, who are going to assist the Superior General run the affairs of the congregation for the next 6 years. The first assistant general gives us insights of the 37th general chapter and how his team will help the congregation carry the gospel light of hope, joy, and peace throughout the world.
I am Father Raymond Mwangala. I was born and brought up in Zambia, and I joined the Oblates in Zambia. After spending 2 years in our pre-novitiate formation, I did my novitiate in Johannesburg in South Africa, and then proceeded with my philosophical studies at our scholasticate in St. Joseph's Theological Institute. And then for theology, I was asked to come to our international scholasticate here in Rome. And so I spent 3 years at the international scholasticate while studying at the Gregorian University. I was ordained to the priesthood in 2004 and served briefly in Lusaka as a member of the formation team at the pre-novitiate and also at the newly opened parish in Lusaka, Mary Immaculate. And then I was assigned to South Africa, to our scholasticate community, to be on the formation team and also to study and to teach philosophy. And that's where I spent the bulk of my ministry. After serving in that ministry for over 10 years, I requested to have a sabbatical experience for renewal, and I was granted that, which I took at Berkeley, California, at the Jesuit school. And during that period, I requested to be allowed to pursue doctoral studies, and I was allowed. And so I went to San Antonio to the Oblate School of Theology, where I did studies in contemporary spirituality. Early this year, in April this year, I graduated with a PhD in spirituality. About 2 years ago, I received an invitation from our provincial superior to go back to Zambia to take up a leadership role. And so for the last 2 years, I have been serving in leadership in Zambia. I came to the chapter as a delegate for the Zambia delegation, and I've been elected the first assistant to the Superior General. So I will be going back to Zambia at the end of the chapter to resign my position, because I cannot hold both positions at the same time. So this is me. I'm humbled that I have been elected to this position, but I also trust that the Spirit is with us, and that God, and with the help of my brothers, I will be able to serve to the best of my ability.
So let me begin by asking you to react to the visit that you made to the Holy Father following the election of the Superior General and the General Council. How do you react to that?
Our visit to the Holy Father was one of the highlights of our General Chapter. We went as a body to show our solidarity and to greet the Holy Father. And for me, it was an important moment of communion to be able to meet with the Holy Father, to give him an update on what we have been reflecting on and sharing on, but also to present ourselves to him.
Now, this the seventh chapter of your congregation is quite significant this year, especially in that the representatives who are around have had to elect a new Superior General after Father Louis Lugen's tremendous 12 years of service to the congregation. How would you describe this 14th Superior General?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is, you know, we have our General Chapter every 6 years. It is first and foremost a moment of communion among ourselves as missionary oblates of Mary Immaculate. It is also a time for us to elect the new leadership of the congregation for a term of 6 years. Father Louis Logan has just completed 12 years as Superior General of the congregation. When we proceeded with the elections for the Superior General, normally a candidate is elected from delegates who are at the chapter. But this time, Father Ignacio Luis Royce was elected. He was not a delegate at the chapter. And it was, for many of us who were at the chapter, a fulfillment of Scripture. It is as though the Lord had sent us to look for a new leader, and we presented different names, and the Lord kept saying, no, not this one. We had to go to Western Sahara, to the desert, to find a new Superior General. And that is the one who has been elected.
Does your constitution allow for that?
It does allow for that. Any oblate who has completed 5 years in perpetual vows, and from the moment who is a priest, can be elected to the position of Superior General.
But supposing you elect him like that in absentia and he says no?
Well, every oblate who is elected to a position has to be asked if he accepts the election. And so once the election had been conducted and Father Louis Ignacio Royce had received the required number of votes, he was called on phone by the president of the elections, and he was informed that he had been elected by the chapter as the new Superior General, and he was asked if he would accept the election, to which he said yes.
Mm. But why did you have to go far to look for a Superior General? Were you people who are delegates there inadequate?
Not really. We are delegates to the chapter, and every oblate who is in perpetual vows, has completed 5 years of perpetual vows, is eligible. And so we come there to the chapter as delegates, and we listen, first of all, to reports from the different regions, to the Superior General's report, and then after listening to the reports, we ask ourselves, what are we hearing from the different regions of the oblate world? What are the calls that are coming through? What are the challenges? And then we enter into a process of discernment, asking ourselves, who would best lead us in the next 6 years, considering what we have heard? Sometimes it could be somebody who's present in the chapter, but like in this time, it was somebody who was not present at the chapter. And so it's a question of discernment and listening.
Is he really up to the task?
I have no doubt about it. He served previously as a general counselor for Europe on the general administration. I think it was for a period of 12 years. And then he went to be a missionary in Western Sahara, probably one of the most difficult missions in the world. And so he has been a missionary, and also he has served at central government.
From which country is he?
He is Spanish.
Now, you yourself, Father Raymond Mangala, have been elected as First Assistant General for a term of 6 years, according to your constitution. Did this come as a surprise to you?
It did. To me, it did come as a surprise. It is not something I expected. It is not something I was looking forward to.
Mm.
But as I say, we were in the process of discernment. And we start off with doing a consultative vote. And when my name came up, I was surprised. And so when we actually went to the canonical vote, I was surprised that I was elected. But I was given the confidence to accept the election, because part of discernment is listening to the voice of God that comes to us through the others. And so I may not be seeing myself as worthy or capable, but my brothers in chapter have seen me as capable. So I trust that.
Some people actually think that you have risen through the ranks so fast. How would you respond to people who think like that about you as having risen very quickly through the ranks?
I'm not sure that it's about rising through the ranks. When you look at the ecclesiastical offices, I was the superior of the delegation of Zambia. And according to our constitution and rules, and according to canon law, I was actually a major superior. And my title was Very Reverend Father Raymond Mwangala. And now I have been called to another position of service. I am not a major superior, and I revert to the old title of simply being a reverend. So I don't see it as rising through the ranks. It's a question of service. I've been an oblate for close to 25 years in vows. I have served in my home country in Zambia. I served in South Africa on formation. I spent 5 years in the U.S. So of the four that have been elected, I am the youngest. But I guess people might be looking for young blood, for fresh ideas. Yeah.
That was the newly elected First Assistant General of the Missionary Oblates of Mary Immaculate, Zambian-born Father Raymond Mwangala, talking to me about the mission of the Oblates of carrying the gospel light of hope, joy, and peace throughout the world. And that is all we have time for in this edition of Culture and Society. Until next week at the same time, my name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba.
And now, news for young people.
Hello and welcome to the program. I am Festus Tarawali. As you may have heard in our last edition, youth delegates at the just-ended plenary assembly of the regional grouping of the bishops of Southern Africa, known as IMBISA, have expressed gratitude to the leadership of the conference for focusing their discussions on issues regarding young people. During the meeting in the Namibian capital, Windhoek, the delegates, among them young people from 8 out of the 9 member countries of IMBISA, reflected on various subtopics including migration, youth unemployment, formation in the faith, entrepreneurship, gender-based violence, mental health, and substance abuse. On the sidelines of the 22nd to the 27th September meeting, Sheila Pirish spoke to some of the young people in attendance. She began by asking Innocent Hangura from Namibia about his impressions of the plenary held on the theme, Building Forward Together, Reimagining the Church's Engagement with Young People in IMBISA Region in Light of Pope Francis's Exhortation, Christus Vivit.
My view is only a drop in the ocean of so many expertise here. I think this plenary was unique in the sense that the bishops they had seen the need to open up more to young people. I understand similar conferences had been held in the past, but in my case, for instance, this is the first time I had heard of the IMBISA. So that suggests that they had opened up to a larger audience and also to youth to participate in it. So that's the unique part of it, and I think it's a great opportunity that we had been a part of it. In terms of helping young people cope with the issues of unemployment, I'm quite satisfied with some of the outcomes from this plenary, where there's a realization that there has to be resources and support towards what the youth are deliberating to actually better their own livelihoods, and we are quite happy that some of the proposals that we've made as young people here in that space of youth unemployment and capacity building have been well received. So we are quite pleased with that.
But then when we look at aspects such as gender-based violence, drug abuse, we know that when people are unemployed, it's easy to fall prone to such type of abuse and also to get involved with substance abuse. Do you think the church is doing enough to create spaces where young people can talk about these matters, especially mental illness as well, which is very prevalent around young people?
During the plenary, ideas were suggested, and the church, I believe, because we have been invited as the young people, they have the reason why they have invited us, and they want us to speak, and we have spoken. And we believe that with this platform, it will help also the church, even maybe though the ideas or strategies were being there about the drug and abuse substance, I think more is going to be added from this, from what we have contributed, and strategies are going to be made also to improve what has been already been said.
I think this was a great start, and I believe that the bishop seeing it fit for us to be here is kind of opening a gateway to discussing issues that previously we thought were taboo in the church. So I see a great beginning to us speaking about gender-based violence, speaking about issues such as sexuality or anything that really affects us as the young, being open to discussing that with our priests, being open to discussing that in the church. And I hope that we'll be met with positive vibes of telling us really the stand of the church on such issues.
Those were the voices of some young participants at the just-ended plenary assembly of the Imbisa bishops in the Namibian capital, Windhoek. They were speaking to Sheila Pirish. You're tuned to the Africa service of Vatican Radio. Praise be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.